2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All right, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell here with Jeremiah Jensen from KSL Sports.
KSL. I like the emphasis on sports.
Sports.
KSL Sports.
That's right. We live and we die by sports, and right now we are dying.
It's a rough week.
We're dying 1,000 deaths right now. The Jazz, they're hanging in there. They're down by four early in the third quarter here in Vivint Home. What is it? Home Smart Arena or Smart Home Arena? Or
Vivint Smart Home Arena.
Vivint Smart Home
Arena. I just call it the Viv.
The Viv. Yeah. That'd be something to be in the home smart environment. Instead, we're in sports where we want to tear our hair out.
Yeah, I should have gone into computer science.
So news from the University of Utah
yes.
today, their football team actually. It's interesting the timing of this,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting. So I guess they reworked. Morgan Scali's contract.
We're calling it an amendment.
An amendment.
We're not sure exactly what has been amended.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Yeah. But it means that Morgan Scali isn't going anywhere, which is great news for Utah fans because he's an all-time great player and he's an excellent coach. He's done a great job as their defensive coordinator.
And he's hot right now.
He's very hot right now. Yeah. And there are a lot of open jobs. There's a lot of open jobs in the Western United States. There's one at UNLV. There's one at Colorado State. And these are programs, Fresno State as well. These are programs that are looking for someone who knows how to recruit in the West that can help get their program going. Somebody that's young, someone that's driven, someone that's motivated, someone with a pedigree of winning. Guess who that is? That would be Morgan Scali. So I guarantee you there were teams reaching out to him, teams that are asking Mark Harlan and Kyle Whittingham if they had permission to interview Morgan Scali for jobs, and I'm sure it brought this about and led to this discussion that eventually led to this amendment, which means that Morgan's not going anywhere.
But if you're a Utah fan, you have to like this from the sense of
yes.
They recognize good coaches and they know how valuable they are. Coordinators are immensely valuable on both offense
and
defense.
Look at the difference that Andy Ludwig made this year.
It's huge. It's a great point. And so I imagine that the conversation was like, look, I'm a Utah man. Like, I mean, if there was ever anyone that was a Utah man, it's Morgan Scali.
Yep.
No question about it. And I mean, from the time he was a kid.
He was born into this.
Yes.
Probably his dad played there.
Yeah.
He played there. He's coached there. His whole entire life has been dedicated to Utah football.
Yeah. And so I'm sure that he said, I'm being swooned. My phone's ringing. People are talking to me. Walk me through this. And they probably said, okay, what would it take to keep you here? I would imagine. I'm spitballing here, right? I'm speculating. Mm-hmm. But it's probably how the conversation goes. And he says, look, if you can do this for me, I'll stay here. Because to me, this move feels like it's this that Morgan could be the successor of Kyle Whittingham.
Coach in waiting?
Do you think that's possible? Or do you think I'm just...
I think you're onto something.
Okay.
Now, I'm not reporting anything here.
No, we're just here. Just so everyone knows.
We are both spitballing.
We're just speculating.
If I was to bet, I would bet that's what the amendment is.
Oh.
That's the incentive to keep him here long term. That when Kyle decides it's time to retire, Morgan will be the guy to take over the program.
So, by the way, the Jazz are down by 8 right now, which who cares? But I have to let you know. So, Coach Whittingham, mm-hmm. done a tremendous job at Utah.
Unbelievable. I mean,
a phenomenal job. And how long do you think he'll continue to coach? And is where the program is he comfortable with that? Because there's always been the underdog, us against the world. And I think he's lived his whole life in coaching and playing from that mindset. And whether it's true or not, it's just that thing that's always helped him get the edge. But Utah's program kind of made a jump. It made a leap. And is he still the guy to kind of get through to the next level? Is Kyle Whittingham, can he be the front runner and still get to a Rose Bowl or even the college football playoff?
It's a great question, Scott, because all we know is how successful he's been as an underdog. He did it as a player at BYU. He's part of that program, shocking everybody and eventually becoming a national power in the 80s. He was a part of that. Then as a coach, he was part of Urban Meyer taking the program from where it was, which is in a good place. Ron McBride did an incredible job, but Urban Meyer was able to take the players that were in that program and take it to another level. Kyle Whittingham was a part of that process. Kyle Whittingham witnessed how that process worked. And then he was given the reins to do it. And he had a big challenge as a first-time head coach. He had never been a head coach when he took over for Urban Meyer. And you're following up the 04 season? They just won the Fiesta Bowl. They were the BCS Busters.
Right.
That's a lot of pressure. He was able to take that pressure, and he was able to do it again 4 years later. And then 2 years later, the challenge comes along. We're going to the Pac-12. So, and he's told me this. It was like getting a new job. Like his job pre-Pac-12 and his job now, in his mind, are separate because they were totally different. And it felt like getting a new job. So that energized him. Now, again, the underdog, something to prove, something to build. It was rough for a while. 2 losing seasons that he wasn't used to having. But eventually they got to where they were at, and they did it as being the underdog, taking players, developing talent, finding places to put guys, maximizing their ability, putting guys in the NFL that were 1- and 2-star guys in high school. He's done that. And he's made Utah a power in the Pac-12. He got them to number 5 in the college football playoff rankings in the final week of the season.
Right.
He had them in a position to win it. And I think this is now, does he have the energy that it's going to take and the fire and the motivation to finally get over this next hurdle, which I think will be the next step in his head coaching career? Can he finally figure out how to win a Pac-12 championship? Can he get this program to the college football playoff? Because we realize now.
So I'm asking you, can he? Do you think he can?
I do, because he was able to meet every challenge along the way. And he found motivation in each and every challenge to get to the next one. He's got one now. Have they reached a ceiling? Scott, it's possible. I'm not going to say they have reached a ceiling, but it's possible because they've never been this point before. They haven't been beyond this point. And getting beyond this point is hard, as we found out on Friday. Oregon's always going to be in the way. USC's always going to be in the way. There's going to be years where Stanford and Washington, these are great football programs. How are you finally going to break through and win that Pac-12 championship? It's going to be hard. And then to get into the playoff, to compete against the likes of LSU and Ohio State and Clemson, it's going to be hard. But that's the next step. That's the next challenge. I think he can. And I think that's going to be the final stage of his coaching career. And I think he's driven and motivated to get him there because he had a taste of it this year.
You have to wonder if next year, because the cupboard's not going to be bare. I mean, there are going to be some holes to
fill. They won't have the same expectations, exactly. Which may be nice.
And you kind of feel like that pressure, that expectation's off. Who knows what will happen? We may be pleasantly surprised.
Maybe. They're bringing in some talent that might help them along the way.
All right, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we got old Baker Mayfield throwing the staff under the bus. Uh-oh. Don't ever do that as a player, by the way. Anyway, stick around. We'll tell you what happened in just a minute.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.